Thank you, Dr. Walker. I am very appreciative to Dr. Shands and to all of you for this opportunity to speak to you today. I appreciate Dr. Walker presenting my wife because when she's present, she makes me look better. When we were coming across the campus to the chapel, for some reason, some of the people were rushing, and my wife started rushing. I said, what are you rushing so far? She said, well, you see those people rushing? I said, you don't know where they're going. She said, I assume that they're going to chapel. I said, well, they can't do anything until I get there, so I'm going to rush it. I'm always amazed to see so many people present, not only in this chapel, but in the main chapel whenever I speak here. And I guess that's why I was a little disappointed last July when I preached for a fellow pastor in the city. He asked me to preach for him that night, and there were such few people there. I said to him, did you announce this morning that I would be here tonight? And he said, no, I didn't. I don't know how they found out. I am reviewing constantly some of the familiar scriptures which you and I have read and heard all of our lives, and it is amazing what fresh insights come to me in the reading of these familiar passages which I have taken for granted. One is the 121st Psalm, and the first verse, the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And I've been running over that and preaching on it, and I never took time to study this psalm. It is really not the sentiment of David, except he was expressing the sentiment of the Israelites. All of his psalms are mostly expressions of the Israelites, except perhaps the prayer of Moses in the 90th psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I want us to think together on looking unto the hills, looking unto the hills. As you know, in the life of any people, they associate God with scenes and places. Billy Graham associates God with a cow. He was converted while milking a cow in North Carolina. I really don't think I would put God that low. But this shows the universality of God. John Jasper, a black slave, associated God with a barn. He went out to get his sack, and he had heard a white preacher preach while he stood outdoors listening. And that's why I know the gospel is powerful stuff, because if a slave could get converted under that kind of preaching, it's really powerful stuff. And so the next morning he went to the barn, and when he was picking up his sack, he was converted, and he always associated God. You ought to read some of his messages to these students They are still being printed. And people came all over, from all over the world to hear John Jasper at Old Six Mile Zion Church in Richmond, Kentucky. Old Six Mile Zion Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. And I can associate God with an elm tree where I discovered the Lord. I have to associate him there because that is where I was converted. But you see, we had a mourner's bench at our church, and you had to profess Christ at that mourner's bench. Your professing him on an elm tree didn't count. But I associated God with that elm tree in the country. And so it was in the life of the Israelites. They associated God with the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Well, it's better to look that far if you don't have anywhere else to look, but that is not quite far enough. That is not quite far enough to associate God while you are sitting under a cow is not far enough. And to associate God with a rural barn is not far enough. And to associate God with an elm tree is not far enough. And I tell you the reason why. In the first place, we localize God. You see, we localize God. We think of God in an anthropomorphic sense, and we localize him. The reason David localized God, the reason the Israelites localized God, was because God always helped them to win battles on the hills. They associated God with the hills, and therefore, when they were in battle, they would win the battles, and they attributed their victory to God, which I believe, but they left so much out. That was not far enough. David, as you know, fought Goliath on a hill, and he won the battle with a slingshot and one stone. David was on one mountain and Goliath was on the other, and there was Allah in the valley. And David met Goliath and slew Goliath to defend the honor and the majesty of Jehovah. And all Israel came back singing, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord. We localize God. I was talking to Dr. Francisco last Thursday night, and he was saying that I was asking him, when did the Jews stop making their sacrifices? And he said they stopped making their sacrifices when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. See, they had localized God. They thought of God dwelling in the temple. And it was the temple where they made their sacrifices. And when the temple was destroyed, God didn't have anywhere in which they, or to which they could bring their sacrifices. We localize God. We confine him to a temple. You know, when they went to Babylon, the Babylonians were not really being facetious when they asked them to sing. Those people were hungry for the living word of God, and they asked the Jews to sing us the Lord's song. And they said, we can't sing here. God is not here. God is not here. We left him back in Jerusalem. He can't come here. We localize God, and therefore we limit God. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. In the second place, they limited God to the great acts, to where the great acts of God occurred. They limited God because all of the great acts of God had occurred on hills. All of the great acts of God, beginning with Mount Ararat, where the Ark of Noah rested. They never forgot that. They pinned it down. All of them knew by memory Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah. You know, Sarah had concocted a plan by which they could have children, since she had reached the age of 90 and Abraham had reached the age of 100, and she gave up. But Sarah said, well, maybe we can help God out. I have decided to let you have our Egyptian maid, Hagar. I've decided to let you go unto her. She was a beautiful, healthy young woman, and cooked up this plan, and I think by her, God can give us some children. Abraham thought it was a good plan. he didn't object, and Abraham begot a son by Hagar, and later on God gave Sarah the privilege of bringing Isaac into the world. And Abraham began to devote his time, and I don't see why they put that clock in front of me. Devote his time to Isaac. All the other time he had devoted to God, and so God told him to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and kill him. Get him out of my way. I will not allow you to divide your time for me with anybody, your love for me with anybody, your devotion for me with anybody. And the Jews knew about this great act of God on Mount Moriah. They never forgot the great act of God on Mount Carmel when Elijah prayed down fire from heaven to prove that Jehovah was the true God. They knew all about Mount Horeb, where God found Moses and gave him the duty of delivering the children of Israel. They all knew about Mount Sinai, how Moses went up on Mount Sinai and waited for God for 40 days, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. They know how Moses transgressed the power of God at the waters of Meribah, and he was denied the privilege of going to Canaan, and he dug his grave in Mount Moab. They knew about Mount Calvary. They knew about the Mount of Transfiguration later on, and they knew about the ascension of Jesus Christ, and they knew about the angel's voice that told them that he would return in like manner. On a hill, on a hill. All of the great acts of God were taken place on hills. But that is not far enough. So we conclude with an extension of God's presence and God's actions in the valleys. There are more valleys than there are hills. More people live in valleys than in the hills. And so if we will stop with the hills, and if we will stop with the great acts of God on hills, we will miss him altogether. For God dwells everywhere. The Samaritan woman told Jesus, "Your fathers worship on in yonder's hill, and our fathers worship in this hill." And Jesus said, "You missed the point altogether. You missed the point altogether. The time has come when the hills will not be a consideration of God's presence and God's action. For God's the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Well, David and the Israelites found this out because that great woman, Judge Deborah, told Barak that God has told me that you have to go up against the Canaanites. And that captain, that great captain of the Canaanites' army, Sisera, came out with 900 chariots and 900 horses and weaponry that the Israelites had never heard of. There they stood, suffering by comparison in numbers and in weaponry. They stood there with sticks. And Sisera forced them to fight in the valley. Even they admitted that the God of Israel is the God of the mountain, but he is not the God of the valley. And they forced the Israelites, to fight in the valley. Read it. Go to 1 Kings and read it. The Bible says, and I, even though you're in the seminary, I think you still believe the Bible. The Bible says that the stars in their course fought against Sisera. And don't you forget it, the stars in their course. The elements on the side of right, and God will win. The elements on the side of right. I know better. I've always known better. I've always known better. And therefore, I wish I could teach the Jews better. They are still at the Wailing Wall. They are still at the Wailing Wall, looking for God to appear. I was born in a valley. I was converted in a valley. When I lived in Memphis, I lived in a ghetto. But God was there. It was not in the valley. In May, when I attended the commencement exercise at my alma mater, Lemoyne College. It was in the stadium. Memphis is not near a mountain. And a woman who had struggled against the odds to put her daughter through school, while those people sat there at a commencement exercise with God nowhere in their mind. That was a woman who had lived close to God for 4 years. And when her daughter walked up on the stage to receive her degree, she said, "Nobody but you, Jesus." Out loud, "Nobody but you, Jesus." Everybody looked around to see what strange person had come into that audience. And she got up and lifted her hands in praise. And I spoke out, "Say it again." "Nobody but you, Jesus." And I can say with that woman, when I wanted to come to the seminary, I couldn't come to this seminary. But I'm here. Nobody but you, Jesus. He's located not in the hills. All of his great acts did not take place in the hills. He is in the valley. He's everywhere. And don't you forget it.